They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A historic currency intervention to save Japan's economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll find out why the world's leading economies stepped in today to weaken the Japanese yen. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow's up 119 points at 11,894. The Nasdaq up about 0.8%. The S&P 500 up a full percent. Beef prices are also likely heading higher. The USDA is expected to report today that U.S. feedlots bought fewer cattle last month because of the surging price of corn that's used to feed them. Now let's get to today's historic global rescue of the Japanese yen. Finance ministers from the G7 developed economies announced a plan to weaken the yen in order to help Japan's economy. The shares in Tokyo, by the way, on that news jumped almost 3%. We're joined, as we are each Friday, by Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial. He's with us live from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, explain what's going on here with this global intervention for the Japanese yen.
Sure. Even before the earthquake, the Japanese yen was remarkably strong, and that's because investors have been buying Japanese assets, mostly because Japan's banks managed to steer clear of the financial crisis. But because of the earthquake and the tsunami, it was expected Japanese would be repatriating foreign assets, that is, selling them and buying yen in order to rebuild. And speculators have taken the yen to historic highs. What happened yesterday is that the Group of Seven has decided to intervene in the markets for the first time in 11 years in order to prevent the yen from strengthening further.
And the yen dropped on that news against other currencies. But Chris, do you think that that this action by these central banks will be able to keep the yen lower for more than a few days?
Absolutely. When it was just the Bank of Japan intervening, which was the case earlier this year, speculators basically scoffed. It's very hard for one central bank to fight the market.
Right.
But the seven together have an enormous amount of firepower, and investors are already backing away.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial in New York. Thanks.
You're welcome.
To the nuclear disaster in Japan now. The country's nuclear safety agency this morning raised the level of the crisis at Fukushima Daiichi from a 4 to a 5 on an international scale of 7. Marketplace's Asia Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us now from Tokyo as we continue our coverage of the human and economic disaster in Japan. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Jeremy.
Do people trust what the government is telling them about the safety of this nuclear plant and the risk to the citizens of Japan?
Well, I was in Sendai yesterday, and that's just north of the damaged reactors. Nobody I spoke to about this said they trusted the government's assessment of the situation at Fukushima. Part of the reason is that both the government and Tokyo Electric Power Company, which runs this plant, have a history of withholding information from the public about problems at nuclear power plants. In Sendai, I met a business owner, Emi Sato, who told me what she thought.
I think they're hiding information about the levels of radiation. The smoke from the explosion went so high, and we've all heard that if it snows or rains, we could be impacted. So I think it's a little more serious than what they are saying.
And I should mention that it was snowing pretty heavily on us while she said this.
Rob, you've been traveling all across the country. How back to normal are things at this point?
Well, in Sendai, things are far from normal. I spent the day talking to local businesses, and they all needed the same thing. They needed gas. Like any developed economy, Japan runs on gas. Most importantly, trucks need it to carry supplies and food, and the region's gas stations are dry. In Sendai yesterday, cars were lined up outside gas stations for hours waiting for the next tanker to get there. Now, Sendai has a port, so you'd think they could ship gas there, but the government has closed off the port because it needs it to move relief items like essential food, water, baby formula, and emergency crews helping to rebuild this region. But we're not sure when the port will open for non-relief supplies yet.
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Tokyo. Rob, thanks for all your great reporting from Japan.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
You often hear about cigarette taxes going up as states try to plug budget holes, but today the story is cigarette taxes potentially going down. Lawmakers in New Hampshire are the latest to try and boost revenue by cutting tobacco taxes. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The argument goes, lower your cigarette tax and more smokers will come over the border from neighboring states where the tax is higher to buy their smokes. The Republican-controlled New Hampshire House yesterday passed a 10-cent tax reduction to $1.68 a pack, compared to $2 or more in Maine, Massachusetts, and Vermont.
40% of all of our sales in New Hampshire are sold to out-of-state consumers.
John Dumas heads the State Grocers Association. He says raising cigarette taxes, as New Hampshire has done in recent years, just drives away sales.
It forces those who legally want to smoke to go to either internet sales, black market, or some Indian reservations outside of New Hampshire to buy their product. They're still going to buy it, but just human nature, they're going to buy it at the lowest price they can.
Opponents to states lowering their cigarette taxes, though, say it's a net loss for state revenues at a time they can ill afford it, and it might increase smoking, leading to higher health care costs. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, New York City is in the midst of a fight with a unicyclist. Acrobat Kyle Peterson has been pulled over and ticketed a couple times while riding his unicycle on the sidewalk. He says one time officers sang circus music to him. So according to the New York Daily News, Peterson is suing the city because the law only prohibits two- and three-wheeled devices on sidewalks. The city claims there's no real difference between a bicycle and a unicycle. As for Peterson, he probably just wants to avoid having to walk to work in his clown shoes. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.